morning, everybody. Great day today, sunshine, beautiful, and everybody got smiles. That's wonderful. The scripture lesson today is from Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, he ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And he'll tell you the rest of that story.
Thank you, brother. There is a stanza in an old hymn. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. It's my favorite line in the song because I understand it. The heart does wander. Some of us here, we love Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. We believe he is who he says he is. We long to be near to him. And even those of us who want, even those of us who give a rip, we still drift. Life is busy. You don't make time to pray or to read his word. And we stop going to church. These things happen, and our hearts just slowly begin to drift away from the Lord. But sometimes it's not a drift. Sometimes it's not some slow walking away from the God we love. Sometimes, instead of a walk, it is a run. Sometimes we run from the God we claim to love. Jonah is famous for this. Jonah, the prophet of God, who did not love his neighbors. Jonah is famous for two things: a fish, and he runs. Today we talk about running from God. The story begins. The word of Yahweh comes to Jonah, the son of Amittai. The word says, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Jonah has a job. Jonah knows God's will. Jonah knows what God wants of him. And a lot of us know too. We may not know every piece. We know some of the pieces. There are some things in our life we know what God would have us do. And Jonah's like, I ain't doing that. So Jonah arises. He arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. That phrase, he flees from the presence of Yahweh, is repeated like three times in these first few verses. Just so we don't miss, he's running away from the God who has called him. He goes on to Joppa. He finds a ship which is going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh. Jonah is told to go east, and he goes west. He's like, God, I want to be as far away from you as I can be. And the reason he runs is the reason a lot of us run. He runs because he wants to do things his way. There are times in this life we know the right, we know the good, we know the true, and we don't care. We want something else. I remember there was a time in my life where I was dating a girl, And in a moment of prayer, seeking the Lord's guidance, the Lord revealed this relationship did not please him. I remember driving across states to go end the relationship face to face. I remember I came to where she was, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna end this. This is not what God would have of me. When she walked out and I saw her, she had a new haircut. She was gorgeous to behold. And I remember my heart of hearts, I prayed, leave me alone. This is what I want. And we've all done something like this before. Where I wanted something God didn't want for me, so I'm like, God, leave me alone. I would have that instead of you. I want the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't care what other goodness you might have for me. And so we flee from the Lord. There's all kinds of reasons to run from God. We might, disobedience is one reason. Shame is another. You feel terrible what you've done, so you just run away. You hide. Sometimes our hurt makes us run away. We get so hurt, we don't want to face the pain, so we just go running off somewhere else. Jonah, rebellion's a big one. Jonah's is rebellion. Jonah's disobedience. He doesn't want to do what God tells him to do. So Jonah runs. There's a famous guy in the Bible who does this. There's a guy Jesus talks about named the prodigal son in Luke 15. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a story. In Luke 15, Jesus tells it this way. He says, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my estate that falls to me. So the father divides his wealth between the sons. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, and he went on a journey to a distant country, and there he squandered his estate, living recklessly. He takes the father's money, the father's inheritance. He goes to a far-off place where there's no parental supervision, there's no rules. You know what he does? He lives the high life. He's buying everybody drinks at that bar, you know what I'm saying? He's just doing what he wants. He's run away from his father. He is living life his way on his terms. We do this sometimes. They call this being the prodigal son. In my life, I have been this prodigal son. I remember there was a time in my life when I was in college and I failed out of school. I was going to the Moody Bible Institute and I just messed up real bad. I failed every class I was enrolled in. I got fired from the church I was hired at. And I felt great shame in my heart at what I had done. I didn't want to go back to Michigan. And I was in Chicago. I didn't want to go back and face my mother because I was the first kid in my family to go to college. And I blew it. My home church back in Michigan, they had paid for my first year of college, and here I was, a college dropout now. How could I face all these good people who had put their hard-earned money to help me go to school? I had shame. And I had a little bit of anger, too. I was mad at God. So I went south. For me, Tarshish was Texas. It was Christmas break. There was a car going south. This German missionary girl was driving, and she was a terrible driver, let me tell you. And the day the school ended, a massive snowstorm hit the city. Like, it was like a movie, trying to get out of the city of Chicago. Just the snow was falling. Our van went off the road 3 times in 3 hours. At the time, I had just blown up my knee playing college football. So I had a brace on, but my knee was weak. I had to push that van out of the ditch 3 times. Like, I'm out there in the stinking snow. And I'm just like, I'm not going back, Lord. I'm just running. I mean, the storm has come. I don't give a rip. I called my grandma, like, Grandma, can I come to Texas and live in the trailer on your land? And my grandma goes, you know, mijo, there's always a place for you here. So I run to Texas. away from my family, away from my church, away from my problems. Only one problem with this plan. You can run from your family. You can run from your church. You can run from community. But guess who you can't run from? The Lord. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 says it so well for us. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I lift up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea. Jonah read these verses. He knows I can't run to the sea, but he still tries. Even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will bruise me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not too dark for you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. As I ran from the Lord that day, the Lord was right there on that highway with me, heading south. The Lord was waiting down in Texas for me. I didn't even know it. We can't run away from God because God is everywhere. Where can we flee from his presence? We cannot escape him. But guess what? Even though we know we can't run, we still try, don't we? Jonah knows who his God is. He's the God of heaven and earth, of the land and the sea. And even though he knows his God is that big, he still tries to run. When my son's birthday is today, he turns 13. He's a teenager today. Me and my friends were sending photos this morning of my boy when he was a little boy. Because when your kids grow up, in your heart, there's still that little kid forever. It's weird, dude. Like, I like pictures of, like, I drove to church this morning, listened to a song about kids growing up, and I was crying on the way to church. They grow up so fast. But when my kid, when Nesto was young, he had this game he loved to play. I'd put him down out of the car seat, and he'd just take off running, him and his little legs. Wee, 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 he'd take off going. Now, the thing is, he's a little dude. He's 3 years old, got little legs, you know. He's all torso, even back then. I'm 35 years old, got big old long legs, big old long arms, sausage fingers, you know. Oh, if he runs, I take 3 steps, scoop him up. He's not going very far. It'd be, you know, bath time. And a lot of kids don't love bath time. So he'd start giggling and running. And here's the thing. He never, ever escaped. He never like, oh, I gave my dad the juke. No bath for me tonight. I always got him, always picked him up, always put him in the bath. But still he would run. And so do we. Even knowing, we know the running. It's not going to win. The question I have for us this morning is this. Why? You're here and you're running from God. What? Why? What sin, what fleeting pleasure must you have that you will trade this fleeting moment for the peace that comes from being in God's presence, for the joy that comes for being in his blessed presence? Even though we know being with him is better, most of us have done this foolish thing, and some of us are doing it right now. We're on the run anew for some new reason, for some new distraction, from some new shame or some new hurt. Jonah tries, but he can't run. And what does God do? When his servant, when God's son runs, what does the Lord do? But Yahweh hurled a great wind on the sea. And there was a great storm on the sea. So the ship gave thought to breaking apart. When Jonah runs, God chases him. When Jonah runs, God doesn't go, oh, I love that kid. See you later. God's like, you're running? Well, guess what? I'm coming to get you. When we run away, God chases us. Thanks be to God. Now, I can say that now. Now that I'm in his hands, I'm like, I'm glad he chased me. When I was being chased, didn't like it. When the storm came to get me, wasn't pumped at that point in my life. Because when the storm comes to get you, Jonah's out there on the sea. These sailors, they know how to read the sky. There's no weather channel back then, okay? There's no AccuWeather. They look at the sky, they see the clouds, they feel the wind and go, we got good weather, we'll head out now for the next port. They take off from Joppa, and out of nowhere, the weather changes, the darkness comes, the wind begins to blow, and it threatens to tear that whole ship apart. The storm has come. God's powerful, mighty hand has come to take Jonah and bring him home. When we run, God chases us. When I was down in Texas, all I wanted was to be left alone. That's all I wanted. God, leave me alone. I just want to do my own thing. And he wasn't having none of that. I worked at Church's Chicken down in Texas for a year. My boss's name was literally, they can't make this up, his name was Casanova. That was my boss's name. And he was one. But I'm working for the chicken, and it was a good gig, but Texas is hot. Like, it's like Michigan is something. Texas is way different. I'm down in the kitchens of Texas making steaking fried chicken, making good biscuits. Church's Chicken, just so you know, has the best gravy in the world, that white gravy with the peppers in it. Oh, so good. But Church's Chicken, I worked there for a while. And I just wanted to be a nobody. But my grandma told everybody in town, it's a small little town, everybody knew that Maria's grandson was coming to Seeking Pleasanton. And everywhere I went, oh, you must be Maria's grandboy. I'm like, yeah, Maria's grandson. And everyone knew I was going to Bible college. I'd be Church's Chicken trying to just make chicken. People would come to me. Hey, me and God haven't talked in a while. Can I ask you about it? I'm like, no, you can't. I'm not God's guy anymore. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to pray for you. I don't want to love you. Get away from me. And all this time, everywhere I go, people are coming to me seeking the Lord. And I'm like, I see what you're doing. I don't want to be used by you anymore. Even my wonderful grandmother. I get down there. I'm living on her property. I come to her house and see her like once every Sunday. We hang out and have dinner together. And one night she's like, you know, I haven't read my Bible in a long time. But I miss reading his word. Want to read with me every night together? And I was like, ah! Like everywhere I go, God's moving all around me. I'm like, just leave me alone. Stop chasing me. But when you run, he will come and he will chase. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Here at Flint City Church, we work with addicts a lot, people who are battling addiction. We've had brothers and sisters in Christ do well for a season and fall back in their addiction. Pastor John and I have had to go into places, hard places, and drag people out of those, out of crack houses, abandoned houses. People sleeping on our couches, sleeping off a bender. When you go into a bando to pull someone out, sometimes they do not want to be found. Leave me alone. Leave me in my squalor. Leave me in my filth. But because we love them, you know what we do? We drag them out of that house and bring them home. And the Lord God of heaven does the same thing. He chases us. I think the greatest way to see this is in the person of Christ. Why would God send his only son? People always talk about the judgment of God, that God judges sin. Yeah, God judges sin, but God also sends his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe upon him, they would not perish, but receive eternal life. God sends his son to bring all of us home. Christ said, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. God has sent his son to chase us and to bring us to himself. This is how much God loves us. He sends his beloved son to suffer and die, that we may be dragged out of that abandoned house and brought back into the safety and warmth of loving arms. This is what the Lord has done for all of us. Even knowing that, even knowing we're so loved and so desired, still we run. Now the Lord, he woos, he reaches, he sends people to speak to us. But if we ignore all that, he can send the storm. And the storm, I mean, how bad does that to get is the question. How long will our pride hold out? How long we refuse to come home? When I was in Texas, even though everywhere I went, God is moving, I kept on walking. I wasn't going to back down. I'm not going back to Michigan. I'm not facing all that. I'm staying here in Texas. And one day I was in the walk-in cooler at churches, and they have these big cardboard things of chicken, and this raw chicken with ice. And you'd grab them, bring them up. You had to wash the chicken. Then you'd, you know, drop them in stinking in lard and fry them. It was awesome. Well, usually you grab one box and bring it out to wash it. But I'm big and strong. I'd always take two boxes to show the world, like, man, you know. So I got two boxes. I turned to walk. I stepped on some ice because it's walking cooler. It's just so hot in Texas. It's like everything's melting all the time. And I had this bad knee. ACL was already gone. And when it was twisted, I tried to catch it, and I finally tore the MCL. And I just went down. My knee was finally just destroyed. I'm laying in melted ice water. I'm covered in ice and raw chicken. I'm laying in a soundproof walk-in cooler. And there's only one other person in the whole restaurant. We're prepped that day. I'm in the back, and she's up front doing all the biscuits and stuff. I'm laying there, and I'm so mad. My leg's all jacked, going the wrong way. I look down, I'm like, that looks really bad. And I put my head down, and I start crying. Angry tears coming down. I'm like, what do you want from me, Lord? And he's just like, come home. I finally just close my eyes, and I'm like, okay, I'll come home. And soon as I surrendered my will, the door of the walk-in opened. Light. Whoa. I remember I borrowed my, I finally got up and I used their cell phone to call my mom. I hadn't talked to her like a year. I didn't know what she was going to say, you know. Like, I've been running from my family for a year. I finally called my mom, and I was like, hey, Ma. She goes, hey, mijo. And I was like, can I come home? And she was just like, come home. The same open arms that Mama gave to me when my body was broken is the same open arms the Father shows all of us when we come home. A lot of us think to ourselves, I have been running so long and running so far, I must be so far away from the God that I used to love and serve. You may be in the run for years. It's been 5 years of running. I must have 1,000 miles between me and the Lord. But we don't realize that entire journey, the Father's been with us the entire time. He's right there. All it takes is we have to get the phone and go, can I come? He's like, yes. The prodigal son, he goes out to that far off city, wastes all his father's money, ends up in squalor and poverty. It says when he came to himself, when he wakes up, as soon as he goes to the Father, soon as he comes to the Father and the Father sees him, I love the picture. The Father jumps off his porch. He runs to his son. He doesn't say, where's the money? I told you so. How could you shame our family? He scoops his boy up. I love you, son. The Father's just there waiting for us to turn back to him. I say to us this morning, if you're here and you're running from God, come home. Stop running, because as the longer you run, the fiercer the storm will get. And that storm, it might have to tear you down. I have a scar on my knee. Whenever I see that scar, I know, note to self, don't run from the Lord. Last time I did that, I was on my back for a month after surgery. If you're here and you're running from God because there's some sin you want to hold on to, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Ain't nothing worth that. Maybe you're here and someone you love is running from God. A sibling, a child, parent. I have 2 children who have been raised in the church. They've been raised around the things of God. And I have a great fear. I wasn't raised in the church. I was raised outside of God's community. So I got to taste the world first. I drunk deeply of the world's foolishness and realized it tastes sweet going down, but man, does it stink and poison the gut. You know what I'm saying? So I turned to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, your way's better than that way. I'm with you. But my kids don't know what that tastes like. All they have is me saying, Jesus is awesome. And the day might come when my beloved children have to go out in that wilderness and take those hits themselves. I don't want to go through that. But it might happen. If you have kids who have wandered off, I encourage you to treat them the way your Father treats you. He loves you. And the door is always open to come home. The kids that the Lord has given to you, we don't give up on them. We don't write them off. If they decide to run from the Lord, we love and pray for them. And when the day comes, they finally turn, we're right there waiting, celebrating that one that was lost has been found. So as we end our time together, we're going to pray a little bit together. Let's go ahead and bow our heads together. First, if you're here, and you're running from God, come home. Stop it. Stop running. You tell the Lord right now in the silence, Lord, I'm tired of running. I want to be with you. So go ahead and pray in your hearts where you sit right now. Perhaps you are here, our heads still bowed, our eyes still closed. Perhaps you are here, and someone you love is on the run. You pray for them. Ask the Lord to bring them home. Patiently, but strongly. Lord, bring my beloved back into the fold. Let's pray for them now. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, your servant Jonah ran. And you in your wisdom wrote his story down. We read it and we see ourselves. We know how foolish it is to run, and still we run. Lord God, if there are any prodigals in this room, chase them. Bring them home. If there are any prodigals in our lives who are on the run, Father, we pray for them. We're not their Holy Spirit. We don't got to beat them up. Let's be patient with those we love who are running. Being a source of acceptance, a source of true belonging. Lord, I have no doubt that in this room there are all kinds of burdens being carried right now. God, I ask you, Father, just meet the needs that are in here. Comfort wounded hearts. Restore fallen sons and daughters. Thank you for your word that is true. It is an encouragement and reminder to us every single week. So, Lord, we read about Jonah. We laugh about Jonah. Let us learn from him. Not make his mistake over and over again. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen.